framed behind a piece of glass in the home where I grew up was a phenomenal verse of scripture. In fact, a day could not pass without our seeing it. And so familiar was I as a teenager and a young adult with the verse that I thought I understood its meaning completely. Friends, in all candor, I didn't have a clue. The verse? Well, it was Proverbs 14:34, which contains an amazing principle that is the key to why America has been so uniquely blessed by God. The verse says this: righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's just two short statements, but those statements are profound in both their simplicity and their significance. Again, I thought I understood their significance, but I didn't have a clue. If you are a patriot, and I trust that you are, then you're interested in America's success, and you want to see the nation you enjoyed and have grown up in passed on to your children and grandchildren. And if that's what you want, then understanding this principle is an absolute must. Let me state the principle again as it is found in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation. What does that mean? Well, what I thought I understood about the verse, I really did not growing up. And it was not until just a number of years ago that I really began to study the verse and try to decipher its meaning. And of course, words mean things. They always do. And certainly in the scripture, that's true. The word exalts means to elevate to a prominent place. So in other words, righteousness elevates to a prominent place a nation. And by the way, in the meaning and the usage of the word there, it's not just a one-time elevation. There is a prolonged nature to the way the word is used. So I could word it this way: righteousness elevates to a prominent place a nation and keeps it there. But the rest of the verse says this: but sin is a reproach to any people. What does that mean when sin reproaches a person? The word reproach is a word that's actually used a total of 12 times in the Old Testament, this location and then 11 others. And it means to minimize, to reduce to nothing, to make small. So while righteousness elevates to a prominent place and keeps a nation there, sin will reduce to nothing and minimize or make small, not just a nation. Proverbs 14:34 says it'll do that to any people. So Dan, first of all, I want to welcome you to the program and thank you for being with us today.
Well, it's my privilege to be with you.
Dan, I want you to do this here in the first segment. If you could, because you are a historian, give us a little bit of the history of our nation that is illustrative of this powerful principle that we have been elevated to a prominent place because of the righteous foundation upon which we were established.
Well, Dave, you know, when we talked about this last night, about being on the program today, I immediately began to think, you know, how far back do I go, you know, to talk about this? And really, I think we need to go back to the colonial era. And, you know, Jamestown, our first colony, 1607, then Plymouth, the second one in 1620, and then Massachusetts Bay in 1630. Something happened in Jamestown and Plymouth that really illustrates where we're going today. You know, righteousness, the only way that righteousness can exalt a nation is if the nation is based on what makes righteousness, and that is on the Word of God. And in Jamestown and in Plymouth, in the early days of both colonies, they tried economically to survive without applying biblical truth. And in both colonies, you had men, John Smith and William Bradford, who economically, I'll just use economics as an illustration, they instituted what we call today free enterprise. They had what was known as a common store system where everybody, you know, would gather food, put in a common storehouse, anybody could go in and draw it out. And what that bred was laziness. There were people who wanted to draw out without putting in. And both men, John Smith and in Jamestown, and then William Bradford, instituted what we know as free enterprise, and it was based on 2 Thessalonians 3:10, you know, if any man will not work, neither should he eat. And both colonies, once that was instituted, both colonies survived and prospered abundantly because of biblical truth being applied to something as simple as economics. And, you know, there was one historian, James Montgomery, commented about Jamestown and primarily Plymouth, but he commented, he said, and I'm quoting directly, he said, "Those who tried to live without working soon found they must try something even harder, live without eating." And the point is, what made the colony survive is the application of biblical truth. And Dave, I know you and Gary both agree with this, and I could go on, but what makes righteous a nation is when that nation not just believes in biblical truth, but lives it out in their daily life. And boy, Jamestown and Plymouth, what an illustration of a simple biblical truth. If you're not going to work, you don't eat. That lived out produced tremendous prosperity.
And you know, Dan, that simple biblical truth laid the foundation, as you said, for the growth of our nation, spiritually, educationally, and in every other way. But as we're talking about a foundation of righteousness, how has the righteous foundation of America been stolen from our current and future generations through a public education system that is really taking away from biblical truth and really has lied to our America's youth and continues to do so?
Well, Gary, I thought about that, too, as Dave and I were talking last night. And, of course, you know, we could go back again to the colonial era, to the Massachusetts Bay Colony. The first public schools in America were founded with an act in 1647 called the Old Deluder Satan Act. It required all families in that colony, just the Massachusetts Bay Colony, when a town reached 50 families, they had to hire a teacher to teach the kids primarily the Bible. Then when they reached 100 families, they had to hire an actual, you know, actually start a school, an actual school to teach their kids for the express purpose of teaching the Bible so the kids would not be, as they put it, deluded or deceived by the Old Deluder Satan, who's trying to keep men from the knowledge of the truth. I also thought about, Noah Webster, the famous, you know, writer of the dictionary fame, and also the Blueback Speller. In his books, he would put not just, you know, teaching kids how to spell, he would put in there short stories, anecdotes, things illustrating biblical truth. And about Webster, it was said, you know, he taught millions to read, but not one to sin. And, you know, going back there, Brother Gary, biblical truth was part of the education system. As we've gotten into you know, the times of Horace Mann, John Dewey, all of that, these principles have been removed. And look at the end result of where our country is now. When you leave righteousness, as Dave said, whatever you're dealing with, school, government, is made small as a result of rejecting righteousness.